Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur.
Am I making you laugh every time I do this now?
Why are you making such a radio voice?
I think it sounds better. Everyone tell me in the comments that it sounds better. Shut up. Okay, we're doing another mini review today.
Of our Fantasia.
Of our Fantasia Festival coverage.
That's right.
And this is a cool one for genre lovers, I think, in general.
Very much so.
Who have developed a love for this filmmaking family, which I think is so fucking cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I love the style of this. So today we're going to be talking about the latest film from the Addams family. No, not the, you know, but the Addams family of filmmakers. So primarily they are composed of writer-director John Addams, his wife, Toby Poser, who also writes and co-directs some of the films as well.
And stars in them.
And stars in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about her, but I love her when she's on screen.
She's just so good, right?
There's something really compelling about every character that she plays. I think she's fantastic. As well as their two daughters, Zelda and Lulu, who also star in many of their different films as well, which is so fucking cool. I think that's so fun. They're based in upstate New York, and they have a lot of stuff that's like set there as well. And they just have a cool vibe, and I really appreciate it. And they have a lot of really interesting stuff in general. If you haven't necessarily come across maybe some of their work, I think that they started having stuff come out basically back in 2019 with The Deeper You Dig, followed by...
That one's so good. We saw that one.
No, we haven't seen that one. We've seen Hellhole.
Oh, Hellhole. Sorry, I always get those
clues. I know, but I get why you would. So The Deeper You Dig was their first, followed by Hellbender in 2021, Where the Devil Roams in 2023, Hellhole in 2024, and Mother of Flies in 2025.
Right.
And so the fun thing as well is that they've become kind of like Fantasia family to an extent, because they have had, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, now 6 films that have had their world premiere at Fantasia. So it's been cool. And when we saw the film, you know, they came up to speak a little bit before the screening started. And John Addams specifically said, you know, he was like, this feels like where we come to figure out what our movie is actually about.
That's
like
exactly
we come to this
said.
Festival, we screen it, we see what everyone's reaction is, and then we kind of know what we've made. Like they know what they've done, and I think that's awesome. So
and it is great. And also, if you've never seen their movies, they always go in a very unexpected direction.
Oh, 100%.
From when it starts,
it is never what you think it's going to be.
Yes,
and this film is no exception to that.
Exactly. And it's also great that this is the fact, because you have no idea where it's going in the best way possible.
I know, honestly, I think, like, love or hate what the end result is, you're always just really fascinated by the direction that the film goes in.
And they also have a good style of filming, or the cuts. I don't know
it's
what
fun.
It is.
It's fun. I know.
It's
their
editing style.
Yeah, there their editing style is really fun. Yeah. So let me read the quick synopsis of it, and then we can kind of talk about our overarching kind of thoughts about things. Follows a small town sheriff and her deputy who awaken to a changed world where blood drips from taps, people vanish, creatures roam the woods, and the dead rise as the town descends into chaos.
That's pretty spot on.
Which is, that's what happens in the movie. So the film does start, that's it, Toby Poser as Sheriff Deborah, who awakens in the middle of winter in upstate New York. So it's very cold. It's very hard to deal with everything, to find that, one, there's a complete, like, blackout across
of
town.
Of everything. Like, nothing works. But surprisingly, the cars work. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no electricity, Wi-Fi, cell phone service. The Jennies are dead.
But the cars are okay. Maybe the battery is different than some other stuff.
Doesn't matter. Don't think too much about
it. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, she awakens, or is awoken, I should say, on her day off with multiple different strange complaints that are brought to her by her deputy named Mikey, who's played by her daughter, Zelda Addams, who comes to tell her that basically people are sending in all sorts of reports about, that's it, blood coming out of faucets and weird shit going on in the town. And then they slowly but surely realize that there's, like, some form of maybe potentially resurrections happening, but they don't know. And she kind of is driving around and
there's, like,
trying to figure it out.
Weird holes in the ground also. It's really strange.
It's crazy. Oh my God, the holes in the ground. Oh my God, I fucking forgot about that. That's its own thing.
That one you have to watch to understand.
Oh God, it's wild.
Something else.
And so her and Mikey basically spend one entire day, this all takes place over the course of like 24 hours pretty much, investigating what the fuck is going on in this very small town. And what they find is definitely not what you expect to be happening in this community. It's just, it's fucking weird. the way that Adam's Family films are weird. It does stylistically very similar things to what their films do. I mean, we've only seen like a couple of their other films, but they do have a very specific, like Arthur mentioned, editorial style.
Yes.
Quick cuts during a lot of like interspersed scenes in the film, and a lot of use of like a heavy metal score.
Yeah, and sometimes the cuts are synced to the score, which is great.
Oh my God, I love that. There's a scene in the film, this isn't going to give anything away, but there's a scene in the film where the windshield wipers on the car, like the, you know, camera is facing the windshield of the car and filming what's going on, and the windshield wipers are moving to the score, like in time with the beat of the music. And it's just, it's, some people might hate that. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I love that so much. So yeah, so that's kind of what it is. I will say, you know what, I've had a few more days to sit with this one, and I think I like it more now.
You know, same.
Yeah, yes. Fuck. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Because I felt like when we went out of it, I think, again, because it surprised me so much, I wasn't sure I was super crazy about it. I was like, oh, I don't know if I liked the ending of this. Mm-hmm, I'm not sure that I liked where the story went. Like, I don't know. And I had, like, a lot of conflicting feelings about it. But weirdly, now that I've had a moment to take a step back and think about it a few times, I actually kind of liked it. I thought it was really fun. Which they usually are. They do inject a lot of humor into their films with, there's a lot of like deadpan characters, a lot of people who just say things that are like a little bit ridiculous, but everyone's really committed and it works really well.
It does.
It does.
And even in this one, yeah, it's like one of those, technically speaking, you would obviously imagine that this is a zombie movie. It is much more.
It's not.
Than a zombie. Well,
kind of, but kind not of, really.
But also not really. Yeah, exactly. See, it's like impossible to explain.
Well, the other cool thing about Addams Family films, right, is that every single film that they make is like a different subgenre.
Yes.
They touch on something different every time. So like The Deeper You Dig is like a supernatural thriller. Hellbender is like a folk horror kind of thing. Where the Devil Roams, I think, is a period piece set during the Great Depression, which we've not seen, but apparently it's really good.
Check it out.
Hellhole, which we have seen, is like a creature feature slash body horror with some sci-fi, elements to it, which is cool. And Mother of Flies is like a dark fantasy, which I have not had a chance to watch it yet.
I know we had we always wanted to watch
it. It's on Shudder. We have to check it out at some point. We like, I know we just, you know, things fall by the wayside, but it looks fucking good and very up my alley.
So all of that being said, like we said, we cannot really reveal too much about it because it is definitely worth checking out. But great music, great acting. You don't think it's going where you think it's going.
No.
The creature design also of it is just
really
wild.
Good. The effects in their films are always really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really well done. It's something, if you like weird movies, you should check out. It's a weird one.
Yeah. If you're a fan of weird films, and I will say it's definitely weirder than some of their other movies have been.
Yeah.
This one goes a little bit kookier, I would say.
Exactly.
With what it's doing.
How much do you dig it? What's your rating on it?
Yeah, you know what? I think that when we came out of it, because especially the first half to two-thirds of the film, I enjoyed so much, but then I really wasn't sure how I felt by the end of it. I think I was leaning more towards a 6, but I feel like since then I've bumped up to a 7.
I
feel like I gotta give it its dues because honestly, genuinely, especially the first parts of the film, I really was enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've had more time to think about the ending, I think I'm okay with it. It wasn't my favorite that I've seen, but I think I'm okay with it. I think it was just like really interesting, and I appreciate so much how they're willing to just take really interesting turns and risks with their films.
Oh, yeah.
And their stories.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that very, very similar for myself as well. Definitely a hard 7, like a very good 7.
Yeah.
I am kind of disregarding the message, or was there even a message? Anyways,
I mean, there kind of is, but we won't get too far into
it. Yeah, no, but like, I'm disregarding kind of like what the whole wrap up around it is.
Sure, yeah.
Without it, if it didn't lean too much into it, still would have been a great movie.
Yes.
Especially when you factor in how it ends. Yes. I actually would have loved to see more of that ending bit more throughout the movie. You know what I mean? Because like, you think that it was pretty crazy. Let me tell you, the last like 4 or 5 minutes are just next level.
10 minutes, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, that's it. So definitely an easy 7 for me as well.
Agreed, yeah. It's just a cool, crazy kind of film. And I want them to keep doing what they're doing. Honestly, keep making that weird shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I do want to take a moment to highlight the short film that we watched before this movie. And it's so weird. You know what? Again, I feel like I had to step away from all of it after we saw everything to realize how well suited these two short films were to each other because of the end of this film and the implications in the short film.
Okay.
I'll explain it to you after if you don't know what I mean. But sure. I weirdly hadn't given it much thought. And then I was like, oh, shit, actually, this does make sense. So the short film that played before this also had its world premiere. It's called Term. It is, I believe it was written and directed by Chadwick Pruse. I don't know if this is one of his first shorts or not.
Yeah, he said that it was one of his first directorial.
Yeah, and this is his first time at a film festival ever. Mm. So that was really cool. It's being distributed, as far as I know, it was produced by, I think it's Vesperia Films, who did also produce Tight Lettuce, which we actually spoke about in a previous episode that we really, really, really loved. This is a short film that they had premiering at the festival as well. The short stars Dean Norris, which is crazy,
Of
Breaking Bad fame. I'm not getting into details. If this can be distributed and you can watch it, watch this fucking short. It was incredible.
Very good.
He plays a state senator who, the night before a very large vote in the U.S. with regards to abortions is going to be taking place, and he experiences somewhat of a miracle that turns into a nightmare over the course of one night. That is how I will describe it.
Interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, because I don't really want to say more than that.
No, of course, it's short.
Dean Norris is phenomenal
as always.
He is basically by himself for the entirety of the short film, and everyone that he speaks to is over the phone. One of the people that he does speak to over the phone, I will say, is voiced by Mark Hamill. So that's pretty fucking cool
as well. That's fucking cool they were able to pull these two people.
It's so impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a chance to chat a little bit with the filmmakers before I had even seen the short. We were just talking through it a little bit, and one of the producers was telling me that they just figured they'd reach out and see. And at first it was like an I'm not sure, and then it suddenly became a yes. And I was like, that's fucking cool.
That's fucking cool. That's a lesson to be learned for everyone, is that just reach out and ask.
Yeah.
Worst thing you'll get is a no.
Yes. And do that thing. Write that screenplay. Write that like book that you're thinking of, or that short story that you're thinking of. Do the stuff, because you just never know what you're going to be able to have made, which is really fucking cool. So yeah, it was excellent. I was so impressed with it. And I hope that it gets to at least do some other festivals, and then maybe we can find it. You know, we were having a whole conversation yesterday with people about the fact that it's so difficult to find these shorts after these film festivals, and so many of them are so incredible that it would be wonderful if there was somewhere to access more of them, or if they were able to be distributed in some capacity. It would be great.
I agree.
I know. Anyway, that was sort of all of our thoughts about everything like that, but this was cool. It is a cool double feature, strangely enough, to a degree, even though they're different stories, but they also kind of have just similar implications about things, and so I would highly recommend, if you can check them out, that would be great. I'm hoping that Glorious Dead at the very least gets a Shudder release, because a lot of their stuff is on Shudder as far as I know. So fingers crossed that at bare minimum people can kind of check it out there eventually. So that's awesome. I think we've got probably at least another mini-sode coming at some point as well, because we're kind of wrapping things up, and then we're going to have the closing film, which, you know, the day we're recording this is what we're going to. So woo! So we're going to have something coming for that too, which will be really great. So check all of that out. Things are being wrapped up. Oh my goodness, we're finally at the end of this festival. This has been crazy, but it's been really fun. So
always fun, and we're going to do it again next year.
Exactly. So join us for kind of all of the rest of that. We're at Gravetone Pod on all socials. Check out the Fantasia section that we have on the website at gravetonepod.com if you want to take a look at all of the coverage that we've had. But until next time, guys, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.